Hi, I'm George Corliss.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And welcome to Good Growing with a Garden Gal. And this program will help you to become stewards of your own natural resources, whether you're a farmer, a backyard gardener, or if you're into forestry or animal husbandry. Our goal is to provide information and education on these subjects and more. And during today's program, we're super excited because we're going to be talking about managing the nitrogen in your garden and lawn, preparing for fungal disease. I don't know how exciting that is, but
it's a good thing to learn about.
Yeah, Jelaine. Have you had fungal disease on some of your plants before?
I was just thinking about my lawn and how I have nice green grass and I got yucky looking stuff growing.
You don't know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
We can find out today, maybe. We're going to talk about the laying flock, and we're going to be talking about the fruit of the month or the plant of the month, and that's strawberries. And we'd like to introduce the garden gal herself, Teresa Williams. Hi, Teresa.
Good afternoon, George. Jolene.
Hi.
So good to see you. Join us again for this month. And the weather has been optimum for growing things. It seems like thunderstorms at night and then 80 degrees plus during the day. You can't get much better growing conditions than that.
No, you can't. And, you know, our theme today or one of our topics is nitrogen. And a thunderstorm actually can give your garden a bit of a nitrogen boost. So
really?
It's a great thing.
And she just got a beautiful haircut, and now the earphones don't fit, Jelaine. So
I know, yes.
We're kind of in an adjustment period here, but we'll get that all fixed. Jelaine, we usually start with a word of prayer, so Okay. Why don't you start us out?
Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you for the love you bestow upon us. And we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to share in your creation by having gardens and growing our food. We pray that you'd give us wisdom as we have Teresa here to help us to understand more about nitrogen, things that we can do to make our soil better and to be able to grow the foods that we want. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this opportunity to share in a little bit of creation. We ask this in your name, amen.
Amen. And Teresa, why don't you start out by sharing with us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I'm Teresa Williams, and I'm the executive director for our local conservation district, which where we're recording this is up in Wexford County, Michigan. And what we do with the conservation district is our role is to help people to be stewards of their natural resources. We can do educational programming, one-on-one technical assistance, and in some instances for farmers, there are cost-share programs available.
And Teresa, when we put together this program, we've now got an entire calendar for the entire year that you put together. I'm really excited about that. And this month, I already mentioned what we're going to be talking about, but in July, we're going to be talking about weed management, insect management. Can I ask a question before we go any farther? Why is there such an infiltration of ticks in our area? Because you know, I remember going outside as a kid. I never even heard of a tick up here before. They were always down south. When I lived in Illinois, we had ticks, but never up here. But now you go outside almost any place in Michigan, and you come back with a tick or two or three or four or whatever. Do you have any light on the subject?
No.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Sorry.
Well, maybe that's something that we can talk about in one of the episodes. But I'm just amazed at a lot of my friends that said, you know, they've gone camping or they go to the beach or they just go for a walk in the woods or they work in the garden and all of a sudden here's a tick.
I know we're a lot more aware of ticks now because we know that Lyme disease is spread by ticks. So I'm not sure if we're more aware now or if their numbers have increased. And I'm sorry, I can't answer your question, but I don't know.
No, that'll work.
No, but maybe you can help us find out.
Maybe I can, yes.
I think that'd be a good subject because people are still going to be outside all the way till winter gets here. And from basically winter to winter, and then it's tick season kind of, you know, is anymore. It's amazing to me. But anyway, today we're going to start off the program by talking about nitrogen and managing that in your garden. And let's start out, Teresa, first. Why is nitrogen such an essential, you know, part of the growing process?
It takes nitrogen for photosynthesis to happen. And, of course, to grow a plant to grow or produce any food for us to eat, it's got to photosynthesize. And it's the crucial nutrient for that to happen. And oddly enough, it's incredibly abundant all around us, but it's not in a form that's usable for plants. So our trick as gardeners and farmers is to get nitrogen to a plant in a form that it can use so that it can conduct photosynthesis, which is a process of producing sugars, which makes the plant grow and produces things like corn or strawberries or other crops.
Now, last night, we had a tremendous thunderstorm.
Well, we did yesterday morning, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about that's good for nitrogen. Why is that?
Nitrogen in our atmosphere is in the form of two nitrogen atoms put together into a nitrogen molecule. And it has what we call a triple bond. If you can imagine holding your hands together and locking three sets of fingers, how difficult it is to pull that apart. That's how atmospheric nitrogen is held together in that triple bond. One of the only things that's strong enough to break that triple bond is lightning. So after a lightning storm, we actually, I know my mother-in-law used to talk about the fields greening up after a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. And that's not just an old wives' tale. There's a little boost of nitrogen that is broken by those lightning, the bonds of it broken by the lightning, and then that nitrogen dissolves in the rainwater and basically gives a little bit of fertilizer to our crops.
Amazing.
Right, because the green, I know my husband being a farmer, he's always putting nitrogen on the fields, mm-hmm. and it helps the crops to turn green.
That's right.
And I know this, I just got back from being down in southern Illinois and noticing, you know, the crops, especially the corn crops in Illinois, and one was just this beautiful dark green, and I'm like, I think they've put nitrogen on that field because it is so, I mean, it was darker than any of the other fields I saw.
Yeah, and nitrogen is one of the only nutrients where you can look at a crop and you can pretty much tell if it has enough nitrogen or not, and it's by that green color, mm-hmm. Jalene. If it's a nice, deep green color, it's got enough nitrogen. If it's a crop you would expect, or a plant you would expect to be green, it looks kind of yellowish or light green, then that's a pretty good sign that that crop needs a nitrogen boost.
So how important is water in this whole situation with nitrogen?
Huge, because one of the two ways that nitrogen becomes available to plants is by being in the form of nitrate, which is water soluble. So it's carried by water to that crop and that crop can uptake it. So if you have, for instance, let's say you have enough nitrogen in the soil, but you don't also have water, that plant may show signs of nitrogen deficiency simply because there's not enough water to enable that process of nitrogen absorption to happen.
So if a person hasn't tested their soil, like we mentioned, I think a couple of programs ago, mm-hmm. before they planted their garden, and now they've got their plants out there and they look, like you said, yellow. What are some other indications that there may
basically
be a nitrogen deficiency?
Light green or yellowish green. That's it.
Okay. And so, all right. So I need nitrogen. Where do I get it?
Almost every place you can buy fertilizer is going to have a source of nitrogen available. And there's lots of different kinds. You can choose between a chemical fertilizer or a more organic kind of fertilizer. In the organic spectrum, there's think of things that might have high protein in them, and those are going to be places where you find nitrogen. For farmers, they know that alfalfa is a high protein source for cattle feed. Alfalfa meal is a good source of nitrogen. Sometimes slaughterhouse waste such as blood meal or feather meal are sold. Those are both high protein and thus high nitrogen sources. Fish meal, the same way, that'll be a high nitrogen source. And anything that's sold as a fertilizer, it's going to tell you right on the front label if it has nitrogen and what percentage of nitrogen that product is.
Now, I remember reading a book about the Pilgrims. When they came to America, they were introduced to a number of plant crops that they had no idea about. I don't remember all of them, but I remember when the Indians were teaching them how to plant corn, let's say, they would plant the corn in hills and they would put a fish.
Yeah, great fertilizer.
There you go,
yep.
Because it's got
same
nitrogen
concept.
In it. Yep. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So they knew what they were doing. And
yeah,
it's like they
didn't
know the science behind it, but they knew what worked.
That's right. And fish is a great form of nitrogen.
So now you were talking about, you know, the nitrogen needs water.
Yes.
Okay, but can you get too much water?
Yes. And in fact, if you have too much water, the plant often will look like it is nitrogen deficient. It will turn a yellowish green. So too much water and nitrogen deficiency can look a whole lot alike. So you want enough water in the soil so that the process of absorption can happen, but not so much that there's water filling all the pore spaces and there's no air in the soil for the roots, because roots need some air as well.
That still amazes me when we talked about air in the soil. I had never ever thought about that before.
Yeah. Well, just thinking then like about these thunderstorms yesterday, because it was one in the morning and it was one at night, and where I happened to be on the lake, water was just coming down the road and it just come all into my yard. And I'm looking at my flowers. You know, I'm not growing crops there, but I'm looking at my flowers and they're under like 2 or 3 inches of water because it didn't have any, you know, it didn't have anywhere to go yet. And so I was just thinking, if I had a garden like that and all this water had rushed in, and eventually it will, you know, because it's sandy soil, it will go down. But is that what I guess I was thinking? Is that like too much water? Because it was, I mean, there was inches of water.
You know, Jillian, it all depends on how long that water stays around the plants. If it's around the plant for less than 12 hours, you're not going to have a problem. Okay. And up here with most, if you're in an area with sandy soils, most of the time you're never going to run into that problem of being waterlogged. Yeah. If you have a heavier soil, a loam or a clay, then you run the risk of getting into that situation where there's too much water.
So just because we got a whole bunch of water and, you know, maybe for an hour it might have been standing there for a while before it finally went down,
that shouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you just tuned in, I'm George Corliss. Jelaine Fenner is my co-host right here in the studios on Tracy Lane in Cadillac. And you're listening to Good Growing with the Garden Gal. And Teresa Williams is the Garden Gal. And Teresa, we're talking about nitrogen today. Okay, so we're going to go to, let's say, a box store or a greenhouse or wherever to get some nitrogen. Mm-hmm. You know, we need nitrogen for idiots here. So how do we do this?
I'm an ignorant. What do I buy?
Well, if you look at a fertilizer package, it's going to have prominently displayed three numerals separated by a dash, something like, say, 20-0-10. And that very first number, the 20 in the instance I just gave, that's going to tell you what percentage of the product in that bag is nitrogen. So if you had a 100-pound bag that was labeled 20-0-10, that means there's going to be 20 pounds of nitrogen in that 100-pound bag of fertilizer.
What are the other numbers?
The second number is phosphorus, and the third number is potash or potassium. It's called both.
So what are those for?
Potash and potassium are also essential plant nutrients. They help with the production of the flowers and with the production of the roots of the plants. Actually, those nutrients are all used in many different processes in the plants, but we think predominantly of nitrogen as being the green growth and the phosphorus and the potassium being necessary for flowering and for root growth.
You know, one of your last programs, you talked about that because I remember those three things. I forgot what they were.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they can be different numbers, though.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you'll find an analysis that's 10 or 12. I think that's just because easy for people to say or remember. Plants don't need the nutrients in those equal quantities. That's not how plants work. But you will see some that are triple the same number. More common, I think, is you'll see numbers that are different from each other. For instance, you brought up a lawn fertilizer. Most lawns don't need any phosphorus. Wow. So a lot of the fertilizer formulations for lawn, that middle number will be 0 because they don't need the phosphorus.
Now, what about the flower gardens then?
Flower gardens may well need all three numbers.
Now, when you get Miracle-Gro, I'm just using that. I remember when my wife, when she wanted, you know, her petunias to grow to amazing, you know, sizes, there went the Miracle-Gro every day. But when she didn't use Miracle-Gro, I mean, they didn't obviously grow as well. What is the, I mean, obviously that must be some supercharged stuff for those plants. Is that correct?
Well, I'm going to back off a little bit. Miracle-Gro is a brand. Okay. It's not a particular product. It's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of the products in those types of fertilizer lines are highly water-soluble, which means they're available to the plants right when they're applied, but they don't stick around in the soil for long-term. So that's probably what was happening, is the product was highly water soluble. It gave a quick, readily available boost of nutrients to the plants, but it didn't stick around to build up nutrient levels in the soil. So if you stop using it, the nutrients, you know, they're not there anymore.
So how are these people growing these 20-foot tall stalks of corn and, you know, pumpkins that are 1,000 pounds or 800 pounds? I mean, that's not natural. And even if you have good seeds, I know that they're breeding them just like anything else. But at the same time, they must be kind of stuffing the ballot there with some of this fertilizer.
Probably so. I would think there's a good chance of it. And, you know, not knowing the farm to be able to ask them questions, it's unclear as to whether are they doing things that build up the soil so that there's long-term fertility being built up in that soil, or are they using frequent applications of a water-soluble fertilizer? Either one is possible.
It's amazing going to these county fairs anymore. Because you see some freak-looking vegetables and fruits, but then you see these humongous squash and
yeah, there are competitions as to who can grow the
biggest.
That's
right. They are.
And they treat them like babies. I mean, they put blankets over them at night when it's cold. Have you ever seen that, Jelaine?
Yes.
Over pumpkins and other things, and it's like, you're kidding me. And they just love it. So, anything else, Teresa, that you can talk to about nitrogen?
I think it's a good idea to look at the long-term strategy for nitrogen and not just the quick fix. Sometimes you need that quick fix. But if you look at building up the organic matter in your soil, if you've got organic matter levels of 4 or 5% or more, which your soil test will tell you, you're basically stockpiling these nutrients so that they're available when the plants need them. So you don't have to be out there every day making sure, do my plants have enough nitrogen? But build that soil health, build up the organic matter, and that can be done through compost, through mulches, through aged manures. There's lots of different options, but I'd encourage your listeners to think about building up their organic matter.
Can you put too much nitrogen in the ground?
Yes, you can, if it's in either an animal-based form or a chemical-based form, such as a manure. We hear about chicken manure being hot. Perhaps you've heard that term. What that means is it has a lot of ammonia form of nitrogen, and yes, that can, in essence, burn the roots. Some of our chemical nitrogen fertilizers, the same way, if it's too much, too close to the roots, it can burn the roots. If you're using a plant-based source, such as alfalfa meal, you're very unlikely to have a situation where you would burn the roots.
So it's more the animal.
Yeah, animal that's highly soluble.
Yeah.
Feather meal, which is animal-based, you're very unlikely to get into a nitrogen-burning situation because it's not water-soluble. It gradually decomposes in the soil.
One last question. What about planting trees? Is nitrogen a big part of that? Should you put that in the hole when you do plant a tree, or does that possibly burn them up? Or
for tree planting, our recommendation is either don't fertilize the first year with nitrogen at all, because the tree roots are rather sensitive to it, or if it's a really poor site, you may want to look at a slow release form of nitrogen fertilizer. We have there's a fertilizer product that we make available through our annual tree sale that's designed to release the nutrients slowly over a two-year period. And we also give instructions with, look, don't put it right in the planting hole next to the roots. Give a little soil space between that fertilizer tablet and the roots, because we don't want to harm the roots.
I noticed they even have spikes that they pound in the ground.
Yep, same concept. A slow release, not put right next to the root in the planting hole, but away from the planting hole.
That's a great idea, whoever came up with that. Hey, make sure you stay tuned, because we're going to be right back and we're going to be talking about fungal diseases. So stay tuned.